This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, inviting you to stay tuned and walk along with us on our Summer 2009 Israel Tour. We trust you can feel you are a part of this seminar tour as we walk the Holy Land and consider its biblical past, its political and prophetic present, as well as its prophetic future. Let's see where we are today. Come along with us now. Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Caesarea Philippi in Israel. And with us we have 72 folks who've come from all across America, who've come from Canada, who've come from Australia and France. So we're here at this place in the Bible as we begin at chapter 16, Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" This is an important scripture for us in Christianity, and we're going to find out what is the place. Really, to understand this passage, you need to understand where Jesus was when he said that. And so we have Jacob Yaakov Tamari, our longtime friend and guide, and he's going to tell you what this place is.
Well, this was another shepherd's village. And they were worshiping here. And those who will climb a little bit further up later, you will see the carvings into, and then you will see also beautiful other remains like the floors of the temple to Pan. Pan in the Greek mythology was the god of shepherds, half a goat, half a man. And he was known for his cruel nature, so the shepherds wanted to please him, and they were praying for a blessed year at this temple of Pan. This was a very fertile area, as you can tell, and here this area provides today about one-third of the waters of the Jordan River. If you remember yesterday at Katsrin, at the model of Katsrin, they showed how the Syrians were attempting to divert this water to let them go over to Jordan and to the Yarmouk, through Jordan to the Yarmouk. They were referring to this water that you see now. In winter, this is Banias. Banias is one of the main tributaries that will become the Jordan River. The two others will be Dan and Chatzbani that we passed on the way, and I pointed them to you. And the Banias provides about one-third of the waters of the Jordan River. If you will come in wintertime, then when the snow melts on Mount Hermon, all these little canals will be full with water, and the stream will be a lot more powerful. You know that the Arabs are having a hard time with pronouncing the letter P, so P becomes B. That's how Banias or Caesarea Philippi, which is the name in the scripture, because to differentiate it from the other Caesarea that we were visiting the other day, Caesarea Maritima, this is the Caesarea that was built by Philippus, one of the sons of King Herod. And here is where the Arabs, they continued to call it Banias, because of difficulties with pronouncing the name, the letter P. And in order to, in many other places as well, in order to show that the land belongs to them, that they are the owners, because they didn't have any written title to it, they will bury some of their dignitaries on top, and you will see a white dome. Maybe some of you noticed it. And in order to say, if our ancestors are buried here, then this is the right, this is our proof of our right to this water. And people came, you know, the farmers came with from all the region here. They will came with their grains to ground it here by flour mills that were generated by the water. So this was a very important place. In 1967, when Israel got there, the place ceased to exist as an Arab village, and it is now part of the Israeli nature reserves.
Yes, so we're in a very beautiful spot. We're alongside this tributary, one of three, as it says in Psalm 133, "How beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dews of Hermon." The dews of Mount Hermon is the melting snow. The melting snow goes into three tributaries. Those three tributaries make up the Jordan River. And as you can see in this country, water is life. So it's life for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, when Jesus was here, it was already the place to worship Pan, the half man, half goat. And you remember the word panic comes from Pan. And so they tried to always appease him. So Jesus has come to this place. And Chip, come on up here and share what you'd shared before. We have 72 people here. Chip's one of them. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some says you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the," he didn't say Christ, they didn't speak Greek. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Shimon Bar-Yonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, some people have said that Peter became the first pope and that God built his church upon him. No, the Lord built his church upon that revelation, upon revelation knowledge, and upon the revelation that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I'd hate to think we had a church built on Peter. Now, verse 19, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's what he said right here. Then charged he his disciples they should tell no man that he was Yeshua the Messiah. Chip has a revelation on this. Come up here, son. He's with us, and we'll get him to share a little bit with you. Chip Brim.
Thank you. Well, what this was all about, how it started with me, was the Lord was dealing with me on positioning myself to hear. The church, it's time to position yourself to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. In Revelations, we're called the hearing church. Hearing is very important. And I went to the scripture. And then between going to the scripture and studying, I heard a tape from Brother Hagin, and he said, one of the greatest things we can do as Christians is to hear from God. He wasn't talking about the commandment to walk in love. That's a given. But he says one of the greatest things we can do is position ourselves to hear from God. And then this scripture came up, and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And, of course, some of you have heard the teaching about the anointing, and this goes right with it. And they answered all these. And then Peter, good old ear cutting off, talking like them, maybe cursing Peter, whatever, who we can relate to, gives an answer to the greatest teacher. And you know, I think of all the times I was in class and I was called upon and didn't know the answer. And I'm sure there were times Peter didn't get the right answer on lessons that we don't know. But he gives an answer, and what an answer it was, because it really I believe that Jesus got real excited about it, because he said, "Peter, flesh and blood, you couldn't have got this from any man. No man on this earth could you have got that answer from." That could have meant you didn't cheat off the other disciples this time. I don't know. But it might. But what he was saying was, there was no man on this earth that you could have possibly got this from. The only place you could have got this, your only source, was God. And so I went back and I studied it. And I found out that he hadn't taught him yet about how to hear from God. He had taught him eschatology, end times, the power of God, the kingdom of God, but he had not yet talked to him about hearing from God, and Acts chapter 2 hadn't happened yet. So all of those things were in order, and Peter hears from God. Peter, get up, chest bump, high five, something, because you heard from God. And I think that may be how he feels now when we take time and when we position ourselves to hear from God. So this place is very special to me.
Thank you very much. And as you go on down from chapter 17, from here at this place, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up to an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, It is a tradition among certain Catholic Church that Tabor is the Mount of Transfiguration, or we say Mount Tabor. But most people believe now in Protestant circles and in the circles, prophetic circles that we talk about, or Bible study circles, that it was not at all Tabor. It was Mount Hermon. He was in this neighborhood, and he was near Mount Hermon. So the Mount Hermon is the Mount of Transfiguration. Then answered Peter, and it says in another place that they had come, Moses and Elijah had come to talk to him about the death that he would accomplish and about God's plan for his life. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us. If you will, we'll stay here and build three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Think of that, Chip. 6 days later, they walked up to Mount Hermon, and God told him them, Hear me. That's interesting, isn't it, son? Yeah, he went all the way up Mount Hermon. You can climb Mount Hermon. He went there. They went there. And 6 days later, they would be there. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, come, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And then they said, well, they said Elijah should come first. And he said, Elijah has come. He said, and they knew him not, but it was John the Baptist. So in type, there was a type of a preparation before the Lord's coming. And so here we are today. We wish you were with us right here, you who are listening on Billy Brim, the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And everybody's here. Invite them to come, folks. Has it been good?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's been great. Today, I hope you're listening the day that we put that radio broadcast on when we were right on the border with Lebanon. We were yesterday. We were over on the Syrian border. We're looking at Israel, past, present, and praise the Lord, we're going to see Israel future. So this is Billy Brim and 72 pilgrims here, and our Israeli guide saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow. Did you feel you were there? I hope so. Watching the fig tree, Israel, is a key to understanding what's going on in the world today. On a previous tour, we made an Israel documentary DVD suitable for television. It helps you see the political ins and outs and how they can flow with God's plan for Israel or how they can fight against it. This one-hour, high-quality DVD is available for $30 plus shipping. Now here's a second offer. It is a very elementary study of the Hebrew language. You will receive 5 DVDs of Billy Brim teaching elementary Hebrew along with a 10-page study guide. This package is available for $50 plus shipping. If you would like both offers, the Israel documentary and the elementary Hebrew lessons, you may have them for $70. To order, call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write Billy Brim, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. This is Billy Brim. Shalom.